Good morning and welcome to Hillsdale Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're here. If you're in the lobby, go ahead and come on in and find a seat. We're going to open our service with a word of prayer, and then we're going to open our hymn books to hymn number 26, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. I invite you to stand with us. We're glad that you're here visiting with us. And if you're here as a visitor, we welcome you. And if you're here in the building, we're glad that you're here with us this morning. Let's put our voices together and our hearts together as we worship the Lord. Let's pray and give God the glory this morning. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the privilege to sing and to lift our voices to you. We want to glorify you this morning. And so, Lord, we cast our cares aside. We cast them upon you, knowing that, Lord, you care for us. Help us to be able to focus on our worship. Help us to focus on your word as we hear it in just a little while, that, Lord, you would use it in a powerful way in our lives. Draw us closer together. Draw us closer to you, we pray. And now we look forward to worshiping you in song. Bless this service, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please remain standing.
If you'll turn in your hymnals to number 26, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
Thank you. have you in church today, and thank you for that song. That was my favorite song, and my kids sang that my last day at the church that I was in pastoring them. They sang that for me, and he sang that for me today. Thank you. If you have a bulletin, please get it open, and as you open your bulletin, you'll take a look at the inside. Of course, today's events coming up. Teens, pay attention. If you have parents of teens, you have a meeting there today. On the flyer here on the inside, you'll see the upcoming for this coming week, and you want to pay attention to that, ladies' Bible study. And of course, you have this little flyer in there for our Spirit Day at Chick-fil-A. And if you're saved, you like Chick-fil-A. And so it's 20% of the proceeds. Make sure when you go up, if you do it online, say Patriot or let them know that you're coming for the church, and they will make sure we get 20% of those proceeds. And of course, today is our focus. We're focusing on the upcoming events of this week, of this coming weekend. So Friday is what's commonly called Good Friday. And I oftentimes like to have a raise of hands on, what day do you believe? And, Jesus was crucified, and there's Wednesday folks and Thursday folks and Friday folks. But we do believe Jesus was crucified for our sins, and he was buried and rose from the dead. And that's what we're going to celebrate on Friday with a Good Friday fellowship sermon here. And we're going to be singing lots of songs and some good times. We want you to come out 7 o'clock on Friday night. And then, of course, we have a sunrise, a little later sunrise for us, but sunrise service at 8 o'clock next Sunday morning. We invite you to come out to that. We want you to come and be a part of that great celebration. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ daily, but we're going to focus on that next Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Come on out for that, if you would. We're going to have breakfast after that. And for those folks who like to eat, and of course, all God's people said amen. And then after that, we will have our Sunday morning normal service, but our Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday service, focusing on Christ. The gospel will be preached. And of course, we said last week, and we'll say it again this week, lots of folks out there that will come to church on Easter. So invite somebody that you've been praying for. Pray for them first, and then invite them. And outside here on the table, we have some invites, we have some tracts, and some other stuff you can grab. But invites for next Sunday. And I have somebody in my mind right now. I don't know if she's watching. I told her to catch us. She's my neighbor. If she's watching, I'm coming for you. And I'm going to go to my neighbor, and I'm going to invite her. She told me she knows the Lord, but she doesn't have a church home. So I'm going to invite her to church next Sunday. Do you have somebody in mind right now? I hope you do. To invite them to church next Sunday. If you're a visitor here today, I'm glad you're here. It's Palm Sunday. In your bulletin, on the back side of the flyleaf, you'll see where it says guest. It says, I put my glasses on, I'll tell you what it says. It says guest connect card. And scan that Q card, if you would please, and fill that out. That'll come directly to me here after the service, and we can keep track of your visit. And I also would like to let you know how thankful we are that you have come. If you are visiting with us right after the service, we'd invite you to come right out these double doors and come back to our guest area back here. I'd love to meet you. I want to shake your hand and introduce you to Pastor Peterman. And I hope you're in prayer. You're in prayer for our pastor this week, who's out with his folks, and he's heading over to his in-laws today. So be praying for our pastor as he travels and he's away. He'll be back soon. He'll be back by Wednesday night. So be praying for pastor as he's gone. Also, if you have a prayer request, there's another cue card here. Please scan that. This is for the prayer request. It doesn't matter if you're part of our church, you're a member here or not. If you're visiting and you'd like us to pray, we will pray for you. I promise you that. So please fill out that prayer request there. If you're watching online, we'd invite you to contact us and let us know of a prayer request, or just let us know that you're watching. We'd be very grateful for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you'll stand with us one more time, number 46 in your hymnal, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let's sing out together.
Pastor Armstrong, thank you, choir. What a ministry we've been able to have in music today. I hope that's been a blessing to you as well. A couple of prayer requests to mention. I'll mention them now since you just were seated, and then we'll stand in just a second. We'll read some scripture together, and then we'll ask the Lord's blessing on the prayer requests as well as our time of giving as we give to the Lord. Our first one is for both Pastor and Sheila. Of course, Pastor is on his way back into Tampa today. And so be praying for him as he travels. They had a family emergency up there with Sheila's mom. So just be in prayer for them. She's okay, but just making some decisions for her. So just keep them in prayer as they're watching over Sheila's mom and making sure that she is okay. Had a praise this morning in Sunday school. And that is, of course, you know, we've been praying for Christina. That's a member of the Gregory family. And of course, the huge praise request is that she is now cancer-free. So we rejoice in that. Of course, we were asked to pray for Emily. That is another one of their family members who also has some physical difficulties and some physical needs that they need along the way with a vehicle and some other things along the way that way too. Pray for mom back there. She's has a doctor's appointment coming up as well. And she is looking at a doctor's appointment on April 15th to determine whether you need a pacemaker. So we're praying for you as well. And of course, for Jeff Brindle, keep praying for Jeff. Bobby, good to see you in the service this morning. We're praying for you and for Jeff as well. And of course, it's good to see Athena right down the middle of the aisle here. She's back. Keep praying for her. She's in the cast for another couple of weeks. And of course, therapy after that. So pray for Athena. And of course, like Pastor Mills mentioned, any prayer requests that you can mention, we want to make sure that we're mentioning those things along the way so that we as a body, we're praying. Powerful things happen when God's people pray, and we want to be about that. And so if you don't mind mentioning them, we don't mind praying for them. And so we want to make sure that we're doing that as well. And of course, let's go ahead and stand. We're going to have our Bible reading out of Luke chapter 19. Today is Palm Sunday, and of course we know that as the day that Christ rode into Jerusalem, and we're going to be preaching on that account today as well, and you'll find it in Luke chapter 19. If you'll look at verse 29, that's where we'll pick up our reading. We're going to read through verse 38 together, and we'll look at a little bit more than that in our message together, but for sake of reading, that'll be sufficient for us to get us through Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 29. We'll read down through verse 38. Let's read it together. together as a body of believers, starting in verse 29. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet no man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. If any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll go ahead and invite our ushers to come. You may be seated. And as soon as they come forward and we pray, we'll commence with our offering as we give unto the Lord. If you have a visitor card filled out or a cares card that you grabbed from the pew rack in front of you, you can place that in the pew and the offering plate as it is passed as well. Let's go before the Lord and thank him not only for his word, but this, our time of offering. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you again for the privilege to read your word. Father, we know that there are people in the world today that could not read openly the scriptures as we just did. They face persecution, they face jailment, they face imprisonment, they face punishment of crime, perhaps even worse. And Lord, but yet we today have the freedom to openly read as you stood and entered into the city of Jerusalem, as they paved the way with palm branches, as we read in other passages of scriptures, as they placed their clothes down before you and hailed, Hosanna, save us. You are our King. And Lord, we welcome you. But Lord, only to find that in days later they would cry out, Crucify him. Crucify him. Father, we hail you as Lord this morning. You are our Savior. You are our Lord. You are risen. You are coming again. And Lord, we count it a privilege to be able to meet around your word this morning. Father, I thank you for being able to bring prayer requests before you. I think of Christina. What a joy this is to, Lord, know that she is cancer-free. Father, I pray that as she goes through the scans, that, Lord, that would be the case on continued office visits, that we would see that healing was good because it was from you. Father, I pray for Jeff. I pray for Bobby. Lord, knowing that they continue to struggle in the mind of and in the light of a praise, Lord, we have a great need. And Father, Brother Jeff needs you this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would touch his body. Lord, I also think of Sonia Rezabella, who needs you as well and continues to struggle physically. Lord, we would pray that you would touch her body. Lord, we think of others that are struggling with cancer. But Lord, we know you are the great healer. We know you are the great physician, and you can heal. And sometimes you decide to heal physically, and other times you decide to heal physically in a way that has folks coming home to you. Father, we leave that with you. That is your business. That is your prerogative to do in our lives. But Lord, we give our lives to you today. We give you, we put our proverbial cloaks before you. Lord, we want you to take your word as it's preached in just a little bit and use it in our lives. Father, we have the ability to give back to you now in this hour. And Father, we're thankful. We're thankful that Athena has the privilege to be home and to be getting ready to start therapy in another few weeks. Lord, I pray that this surgery would be one that would be effective for her treatment and for her healing. And Father, we also just praise you and thank you for the opportunity to give now. Bless the gift, bless the giver alike. May it all be pleasing in your sight, we pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Last night I lay asleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven answering. Methought the
in the heart.
earlier, Luke chapter 19, and of course today is the day that we observe Palm Sunday, and that is the title of our message this morning, Palm Sunday, the arrival of the King. There is a handout, so if you need a handout, you can, anybody need a handout, maybe we can get some and get them in here, and we'll make sure that you get one. That way you can take these thoughts and take them with you, or you can jot down and the notes that are there. Do we have the power? There it is. Palm Sunday, the arrival of the King. Let's pray, and then, of course, some people have their hands up, so when they y'all come in, we're going to pray, y'all just go ahead and hand them out, that'll be great, and let's do that. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on this, our time. If you need a handout, you just keep those guys, they'll keep walking around. Father, thank you so much for the time. Father, let our hearts settle for this moment. Your word is being preached. We're watching you as you enter into the city to the sounds and the cries of Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Little children would sing. Grown men, grown women would hail you as the King. But yet that wasn't the ending. It's only the beginning. Father, we pray that today would be a day that we would allow your word to speak to us. Grant your blessing, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. On May 6, 2023, King Charles III was crowned king. He is the new monarch of the United Kingdom. The coronation, years in the making, is estimated at a cost of around $125 million. It is estimated that the coronation feast cost in the neighborhood of $30 million. I would have loved to have been a part of that. I mean, you think of what you can do for $30 million. Man, let that food hit the taste buds. I bet it was something else. About 20 million people showed up watching either online, thousands crowded the streets as they watched the procession, as they watched all of the things that were going on to crown this man King of the United Kingdom. 4,000 armed forces personnel, 19 bands would be a part of the procession among the thousands of cheering spectators that would last throughout much of the morning. The excitement of the day was weeks before, and it lasted weeks after, many said. There were some that loved the idea of him being king, and there were others that didn't like it. Very befitting of exactly what you have happening in Luke 19. But quite the contrary as far as the grandeur of it. The whole idea here is when royalty arrives, I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, when royalty arrives, people take notice. If we're the children of God, when we show up, do people take notice? Think about it. He shows up in the city of Jerusalem that day, making his way toward the city, and all of a sudden a crowd starts erupting with verbiage of Hosanna. Blessed is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Much like a king hailed that we would watch a coronation, we're going to see unfolded in the passage that we have, Luke chapter 19, a grand unfolding of what begins to happen. Here's a couple thoughts as we process this. These are on your outlines, if you have them. Number one, his arrival was prophesied, and it came to pass. Do you realize that nothing ever comes to pass according to God's thinking? It's always a part of his plan. For us, things happen. We don't know all the ins and outs of what life might behold, but in God's providential, sovereign timing, things come to pass just as they should. Never underestimate the idea that his triumphal entry, the riding into the city, was prophesied. And it came to pass in those days, not when Caesar Augustus was governor of Syria, but that when he was come nigh to Bethphage, is how you actually say it in Greek, and Bethany. I said Bethpage earlier because I wasn't about to battle that one. At the Mount of Olives, which then he sends two disciples away. It comes to pass. What comes to pass? That which was prophesied. It was prophesied by Zechariah. Look at Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It's on the board if you want to find it in your scriptures. I always like finding scriptures as I read through them. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Two groups of people, all to mean God's collective people, the Jews that were in the city at the time, those that were spread out of abroad. I'm not in the city, but I'm part of the family. I'm the daughter of Zion. I'm the daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, that is endowed with salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. It's prophesied by Zechariah. Zechariah begins to unfold for us what will happen in the day of Jerusalem as he predicted it. What does this verse mean? It means rejoice greatly. It means to share the meaning, not just a happy moment, but one that the crowd is so excited. There's such an exuberant thought, such an exuberant thing that is happening. So much is the excitement that you cannot help but keep silent. It's like when you open that present as a kid that you always wanted, and you finally get the Xbox. PlayStation, Xbox. Say it with me, PlayStation, Xbox. I'm just kidding. If you're a PlayStation guy, it doesn't really matter. But you open that box, and it's your Xbox, and you're like, oh, I got my Xbox, right? And there's this excitement that pales in comparison to what we see happening that is being prophesied by Zechariah. There will be a moment that will be so exciting, people can't even keep quiet. Because the excitement is so contagious. It's not just being happy. It also denotes a total triumph and loyal allegiance. Think that through. O daughters of Zion, O daughters of Jerusalem, what you will rejoice will be that which is coming before you that will yield you and demand your loyalty, your service, your heart, your all. And when you give him that, you will not be able to keep quiet. And you will proclaim him. Look at the words. Behold, Hosanna. It's in Luke 19. Look at it's down in verse, let me see it, verse 38. Blessed be the king. Your king is coming. Can I say to us today, the reality of it is, your king is coming. Make no doubt about it, the Messiah was standing at the gate. And the people began to swell. And when he does, make no mistaking, this will be different from any other. The coronation of King Charles III will pale when this king arrives. No one will come close. Oh, people, when Jesus comes, there is no way you can miss it. There's no one like him. Oh, daughters of Zion, oh, daughters of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming unto you. He personalizes it. Aren't you so glad that the king came to you? And just in case you miss it, let me describe how he'll come in. He'll be one that is just. He'll be one that is endowed with salvation. He will be endowed with humility, and he'll be riding on a donkey coming into the city. And what are they watching? They're watching this thing begin to unfold. Not only that, but it was prophesied by Jacob. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 11, binding his foal under the vine and his ass's colt under the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Boy, think about it. Here Jacob is saying that Shiloh, if you look at verse 8, just previous to that, in Genesis 49, he's talking to Judah. He's blessing his kids one last time before he will pass away. And he gets to Judah, and out of the tribe of Judah will come a lion out of the tribe of Judah. And he's saying, hey, guess what? Out of your tribe, Judah, there will be a vine. Sound familiar? Go into the New Testament, fast forward thousands of years, where Christ will say, I am the what? I am the vine. There is a vine, a colt will be attached to a vine, his ass's colt under the choice vine, saying that that your tribe will be so blessed, so profitable, that what you could never do in real life, you would never tie a mule or a donkey to a grapevine. He'd tear the whole vineyard down. But this will be so robust that you could tie a mule to it and never even think twice. And I love how he says, and he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. We use the blood of grapes to symbolize the blood of Christ. And he's saying, there is a king that is coming. There is a king. He will ride into the city on the back of a donkey. He's coming. The king is coming. But I've got to see the whole picture. His birth was prophesied. Look at some of these verses. Isaiah 7:40. These are familiar to you. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. A couple chapters later. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Boy, think about these terms as you read them. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And yeah, you start singing Handel's Messiah. And you start realizing that these verses, his birth is prophesied. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, here it is again, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting to everlasting. His birth, how about his crucifixion? His crucifixion is prophesied. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Zechariah chapter 12, just a couple passages over from where we were in chapter 9. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have what? Pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. His crucifixion is prophesied. His last words are prophesied. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? David, as he says those words, is echoing forth that which would be used by Christ himself as he says, why are you forsaking me? Sharing with us what he already knows, that he who knew no sin became sin for us. His resurrection was prophesied. This is the whole picture. Isaiah 53, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, and when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and prolong his days. He lives. He's not dead in the grave. His days after his resurrection will be prolonged into eternity. And the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. How does a dead guy get prospered at all by anyone? We serve a risen Savior. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God satisfied, raised from the dead, conquering sin, death, and hell. We'll hit all of that next week, and we're going to see the servant, that shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Hosea 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal. He hath smitten and he binds us up, that after 2 days he will revive us. And in the third day he will raise up and we shall live in his sight. Hosea predicts the resurrection of the Son. Daniel predicts it in Daniel chapter 7. What does he predict? The second coming. So you see it in Daniel chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 24. I'm skipping ahead just by way of time today. But you can look back at these verses and you can see where these things are prophesied. What does all of this mean? If his birth is prophesied, if his triumphal entry is prophesied, if his crucifixion is prophesied and his resurrection is prophesied and his soon second coming, his return is prophesied, my resurrection in him is certain. That's why we have hope, because we live in him. And absent from the body is dead, gone, just like a roach, right? Just like a bug. No, it's to be present with him. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Aren't you so glad to be numbered among them this morning? If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, your resurrection is certain because of his. And we see it not only in the Old Testament, but we see it in the New Testament. Secondly, his arrival was planned. Not only was it prophesied, it was planned. And so as we look at this whole concept, this whole idea of planning, look at back with me in verse 29. And it came to pass that when he came nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying, go into the village and get a colt for me. And somebody's going to ask you why. Why are you taking that colt? Just say that the Lord hath need of him. That's our story. His arrival is planned. Listen, the date was set. It came to pass. The timing was set. And the entry was thought through and carefully chosen. I mean, you think about this. Think back to your wedding. Did you set a date or did you just say, okay? Nobody just does that, right? Because you want family there, you want this and that and the other. I mean, you make sure the date works. Okay, everybody, the date is set and you get invitations out and you start getting the word out on this date. Okay, so what time does the wedding take place? 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Of course, if you're smart, you'll do 1 o'clock because then you don't have to feed everybody because they eat before they come and you can get by. I still tell the greatest wedding at Hillsdale Baptist Church was when Trevor and Sarah got married. They did cookies and chocolate milk. I mean, I say amen. You had me at chocolate milk. All you have to do is tell me what you're serving. We'll all come to the wedding, right? Brother Mills said, man, we love to eat. We love to eat. And guess what? The timing, the date, it's all set. And then the entry. Does the bride enter running down the aisle? She savors every step. Lord, help me not trip. Lord, help me not trip. Lord, help me not trip. I mean, whatever it is that they're saying, I don't know what they're saying. I was at the other side. Man, this is the most beautiful girl in the whole wide world coming down the aisle. See, we have it easy, guys. Right? But they have to get down. The entry, you think through it. Look at these points. The mode of his entry is chosen. He picks a donkey. If you're going anywhere, are you picking a mule? I mean, I see no hands. So why doesn't he come in on a stallion? Why is it that he comes in to the idea of something that is royal? Hey, back in the day, donkeys were royal. If you look at the passages in Scripture, Absalom rode the royal steed in 1 Samuel 18. And guess what the royal steed was? It was a donkey. In fact, Solomon rides in 1 Kings chapter 1, he rides David's donkey. That's what they rode. It's not a conqueror that's coming into a city on a great steed. It's a king in royalty. It was a picture. Don't miss it. The mode of entry was carefully chosen. The king is coming. That's why they shouted the king, because that's how they come in. It's not a conquering warrior on a horse. It is a king riding in on a donkey. But the message is clear. The people get it to a degree. They say, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, some say. Luke writes it differently. It's not blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the king that comes. The king. The message is clear. Look back at Zechariah chapter 9. Let's talk about that for just a fast minute. He claimed to be king. The king is coming to you, but don't forget lowly. The message is clear. He claims to be king, and he expresses his humility all at one time. We're going to look at Zechariah 9. Keep your finger there. We're going to come back to it. The public spectacle that this would cause was all part of his plan. What did Jesus normally do when he encountered a crowd of people that pressed upon him that we see over and over and over again in Scripture? What does he do? What does he do? He goes away. He withdraws himself. He leaves. He disappears. Now is not the time. But so much the more went their fame abroad, and great multitudes came together to hear together and to be healed by him of their infirmities. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed, Luke 5 says. But Jesus withdrew himself from his disciples to the sea, and the great multitudes from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, Mark 3, Mark 6. And he said to them, come ye yourselves apart in a desert place and rest a while. And they departed. That doesn't happen in Luke 19. The crowd is pressing. He is not withdrawing. He's moving in. And this spectacle, we have to see it. He didn't withdraw. Instead, he embraces the crowd. Look at what he embraces. The people's praise. Verse 36. They find the colt. They bring him to him. They put their garments upon him. Isn't it interesting that as the people praise, a conversation took place between the disciples that twice we see the Lord hath need of him? Can we mention that as the people praise, may we not forget that the Lord has need of us, his servants? And praise is comely. Praise is valuable to him. Praise is precious in his sight. Did you worship him this morning? Boy, that choir number was great, wasn't it? And Holy City by Pastor Armstrong and his daughter Jenna, amazing. And of course, today's Abby's birthday. So if you see Abby running around, wish her happy birthday. Uncle Travis, as we call him, played Abby's favorite euphonium solo today. I mean, aren't you glad that we have the privilege to worship him and to praise him? But as he's sitting on the donkey and he's coming in a kingly style, the praise of the people erupts. And as they went, verse 36 says, they spread their clothes in the way, and when he was come nigh, even to the descent into Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for the mighty works that he had done, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Remember, those were words spoken at his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. But this is different. This says peace in heaven. The only way to have peace in heaven is through what Jesus Christ is walking through right now. And so they said, hey, peace in heaven. We're bridging the gap between sinful man and holy God. The people prepared the way. And as he went, they spread their clothes out, a sign of respect to the authority. Interesting thing that Luke leaves out, that they cut down palm branches and place those in the road too. John and Mark will mention those. And so you've got clothing that's being laid down. You've got palm branches that are being laid down. You've got the praises of the people as they prepare the way. And then they praise him with their lips. And they begin to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty things that God had done. When was the last time you praised God with a loud voice for the mighty things that he had done? Understand that they're not fully contemplating what's happening, but they are reciting Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. The theme of this celebration was peace. Peace on earth at his birth. Peace in heaven at the beginning of what we call Holy Week. As he came as a babe, he came to bring peace on earth. But this time he enters the city to build and bridge a gap. And guaranteed, people did not like it. As we continue on in the passage, you're going to find that the leaders, they're pursuing him. The people are in an uproar with praise. Their lips are praising him. The little kids are singing in the temple, as you'll see later on in the passage. The little kids, as they sang, that's in the scriptures. They're in the temple. And all of a sudden, the religious leaders start to say what? They come out with verbiage. They sought to silence him. Look at verse 39. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy children. Rebuke thy disciples. Rebuke your followers. Rebuke those that are claiming you as king. They sought to silence him. Remember, up until this place, they had sought over and over and over again to silence him, and he would disappear, he would vanish, he would withdraw himself. What does Christ say? Look at verse 40. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Somebody will proclaim me. You can't silence truth. That's what he's saying. What they are saying, that behold, the king is coming into the city, is an absolute truth. But that wasn't all they sought to do. They sought to slay him. Look at verse 47. Jump forward. We haven't read this far down, but you can let your eyes follow it. And he taught daily in the temple. This is after the triumphal entry is over. He's overturned the tables. He's called them the place a den of thieves. And he's overturned the money changers' tables. And he's teaching day by day in the synagogue. And what did the scribes and the chiefs of the people seek to do? Not only to silence him, but to slay him. Enough is enough. There is a pursuit by the religious leaders of that day to not only silence him, but to destroy him. Equate that to your adversary. Your adversary, as a born-again believer, does not seek to only silence you. He seeks to destroy you. Let our mouth and our life proclaim him as king, regardless of the opposition we face. They kept saying, Hosanna, blessed is the king that comes in the name of the Lord, in spite of the fact that these religious leaders were pursuing to silence and to slay him. They were used to, so what about the Romans? You ever thought about what the Romans were doing in this day? Why didn't they do anything? The religious leaders, they're kind of like passively around, telling them be quiet and trying to figure out how they can destroy him. Their attitude is known. But where were the Roman legions? You know what most commentators say? Laughing. Enjoying the spectacle. Enjoying the circus. Can you believe that that guy is their king? Because for them, a horse high and lifted up was royalty. This guy, he's no threat. Are you kidding? Let them have their fun. Let them do what they want to do. Let him be. That's why you read of no Roman involvement in the triumphal entry, because most historians and commentators believe that they had no time for it. They were used to celebratory worship. They were used to gatherings in Jerusalem. This was one of many. Just stay out of their way and let's keep the peace. That's what they're doing. But you have all this happening, but you have the king's proclamation. He spoke boldly. If these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. What is he saying? He's not saying that the rocks would literally start talking, like in a cartoon or something. He is literally saying that someone must speak, but that it was wrong for the religious leaders to silence truth. It is the same then, it is the same today. Truth cannot be silenced. But before we carry on the passage, reflect upon a few things in an effort to give full credence to this passage. His coming, he spoke truthfully. His arrival was purposeful. This is not necessarily in our passage. These are gleaned from all of the passages as we put them all together. His arrival was not only prophesied, it was not only proclaimed publicly, if you will, but it's purposeful, planned, purposeful. Why? Because it tells us who he is. He's king. He is king. Revelation 19, 13, and 16, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And he hath on his vesture, verse 16, and on his thigh the name was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John 18, 36, on your outline, in the parentheses, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world, my kingdom as it were of the world. Then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. It's not earthly. For unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name is all these things. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace shall there be with no end. He is king. Ephesians 1, 20 and 21, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. He is so high above it all. Daniel 7, we read of it again. Right? He is king. Oh, I got him up here, so I'm going to skip through him. He is just. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also once suffered for our sins. He is king, but he's the only one also that is just, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. There's only one that is just. He is having, that is endowed with salvation, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He is the only one that can offer us salvation. He is king. He is just. Zechariah 9:9 continues to tell us he is endowed with salvation. Not only that, he is humble. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He's not an arrogant tyrant. He is a loving Lord that sits as king of our lives and of our future. The very throne that he is sitting on today, you will observe one day once you die. Think about that. He's sitting on the throne. He is ruling and he is reigning today. And as humbly as he is proclaimed in Scripture, as humble as we'll find him in heaven, as he welcomes us into his presence. And we'll look and we'll see the scars, we'll see the holes, we'll see the imprints. And he says, I did this for you. I humbly laid my life down for you. But yet he is king. See him high and lifted up. Not only that, but his arrival revealed why he came. This is why he came. It was for you he died. It was for me that he died. It was for you that he allowed his blood to be shed and himself to be crucified. It was for us that he allowed himself to become sin. That is why he is riding into the city, because he knows all the way through it, I'm coming just for you. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came not to give the people what they wanted, but to give them what they needed. God doesn't give us what we want, but boy, did he give us what we need. As his son said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm giving you what only I can give you. As king, as just, as lowly, and pure. Not what you want, but exactly what you need. His arrival was personal. Lastly, his arrival is personal. Personal. Apply it. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst just known, even thou, at least in this day, thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even to the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Here's a couple thoughts, and they're on your outline as we round up our thoughts. Christ saw what no man could see. They are hailing him king. Behold, blessed is the king that comes in the name of the Lord. What were they actually seeking? They were seeking restitution. They were seeking refuge. They were done with the scourge of Roman rule. And if you're a king, you're our guy. If you can take Rome and get them out of our hair, you're our guy. It's all about politics. It's all about us. And so, hey, blessed is the king that comes in the name of the Lord. We are finally going to see Jerusalem restored again like it used to be. Keep in mind these words at the bottom of the screen. Let them resonate in your heart and in your mind as we walk through these thoughts. Christ saw what no man could see. They hailed a miracle worker. They honored a man who did marvelous things. They shouted, Hosanna, which is save us, a man who would rescue them from a rigorous rule by the Romans. They saw a political hero, but look what Christ sees. And it brings him to tears as he sees that they are sinful and totally ignorant. That they only desired another miracle or a political victory. Beyond the cheers of the people, he saw their greatest need. Their response to him on Palm Sunday was one that would hail him as king, but he knew on Friday they would possess a very different attitude. For the praise of blessed is he, the honor of being called king, the exuberance of Hosanna would give way to the mean, devilish cries, crucify him, crucify him. And it ever grew with every phrase, Barabbas, release Barabbas, crucify him. We don't own him as king. We have no king but Caesar. Folks, you're missing it. And he begins to weep, and tears begin to stream down his face as the cries grow louder and he nears the city. Blessed is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Glory to the highest. Peace in heaven. And maybe someone would even notice, why is he crying? Oh, those are tears of joy, son. He just can't even believe it. And he's weeping because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. While Christ weeps, the crowd continues to cheer. While Christ cries, they uplift him. While emotionally he sees their end, you're missing the very time of thy visitation. Liken it like this. Yesterday we're playing flag football with our teens. The ball is in the air and it hits the hands and there is no catch. Do it again. Second down. It was in, you get back to the huddle. It was in the palm of your hands, man. Come on. And I'll get the next one. And maybe they do get the next one. There were some great catches and there were some great misses yesterday as we played. Understand it this way. When he sees what no man can see and he's crying while they're children, their very peace was in the palm of their hands. There is no pun in that. It was in the palm of their hands. All they had to do is see it. But days later, they would cry, crucify him. Why? Because they knew not the day of their visitation. He knew what was coming. What would this passage basically say? It would say this, 40 years after these words are spoken, the tears are shed by our Lord in AD 66. What happens? The Jews will revolt against Rome. What they thought he would do for them, they do for themselves. If you're not going to be our king, then we will do it ourselves. Sound familiar? We'll make Saul king. We'll do it ourselves. And 3 years later, Titus would attack Jerusalem, break down part of the wall, lay siege to the city, and in AD 70, what begins to happen is the Roman forces would then take the city and utterly destroy it and burn it. 600,000 would be lost in that onslaught. You don't see it. And so one of these days, it's going to come that your destruction is coming. Why? Because you missed the day of your visitation. Today, perhaps in the room where there's two people, you will either reject him or you will receive him. That day, they hailed him as a political hero, hoping he would end the Roman rule. When they realized that is not why he come, it was very easy to just be done with the guy. They rejected their Savior, whom you have crucified, Peter would later preach. You will either reject him or you will receive him. I wonder, have you received him as Lord? When you proclaim him, would you be one proclaiming him? You are my Messiah. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Lord, I have placed my faith and trust in you. Are you in one that would say, hey, I don't need God. I've got everything life has to offer me. Why do I need him? He would only complicate my life. And I reject him. Do you know of the place and the time when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You will either receive him or you will reject him. The people that day received him as a political man, but not as Lord. Is your life different because he is your Savior? Or do we live like those that reject him? Remember how he came in. He's the king. He's just. We ought to mirror that. Endowed with salvation, take that message to others because the people around us need it too. Boy, Brother Mills did a great job this morning. Take one with you. I'm bringing somebody. How about you? Were you challenged by that? Challenge yourself. Bring somebody back next week that will either receive him or reject him, but they'll know they've heard it. Will you bring somebody back with you next week? Friday night, it's the cross. You're going to hear songs and a message all about the cross. Sunday morning, you're going to get up and you're going to be here at 8 o'clock, right? You're going to be here at 8 o'clock, right? And you're going to hear a wonderful message and song about the resurrection of Christ. We're going to go take bread, we're going to eat it, and we're going to come back in here and we're going to focus again on the cross, on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring somebody next week. Let's go forth from this point and hail him as King. It's Palm Sunday, the arrival of the King. It was prophesied. It was planned. It was predetermined from the time that it was, time began. But it's also very personal. Do you know him as Lord? Is he your Savior? And if he is, are you living for him today? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the time to be just to focus on what for us is a very familiar passage of Scripture. We've heard it over and over again. But Lord, your arrival was prophesied, planned. Yet, man, it means the world to us. It's purposeful. You came for a reason. You came for us. And Father, you gave yourself a sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The king entered the city that day, but he came not to release the people politically, but he came to free them spiritually. Have you been freed this morning? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? If you can say, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and by my upraised hand, I know that if I were to die today, Jesus Christ would see me in his presence, and I would be with him immediately. Praise the Lord, I know I'm saved, and my testimony is my upraised hand, and I know Jesus Christ as Savior. If that's your testimony, would you raise your hand? Hands all over the building. You put them down, I wonder if there'd be just the one that would say, I have no idea. I think or I hope so, but I'm just not sure. And I'd like you to pray for me today. My prayer won't save you. But trusting in Jesus Christ certainly will. And you'd say by the upraised hand, I'd like to know more about how I can know I'm on my way to heaven. Anyone like that? God challenged me this morning, and I need to make sure I'm on my way to heaven. I knew Jesus was a good man, but I don't know of him. I don't know him as Savior. I knew him as a miracle worker, but I did not know him as I don't know him as Lord. And today I need to get that figured out. And you'd say by the upraised hand, would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Then with that being said, let's challenge ourselves together to bring someone next week that they'll hear the gospel and say, blessed is the King that now is my King. Father, have your will and way in our service. Father, we commit ourselves to you. We want you to use us. We want you to be our God. We want you to be our Lord. We submit ourselves to you. And Father, we ask you to have your will and way as we sing. Stand with me as we sing. Just as I am without one plea. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you said, man, I need to know Christ as my Savior. You come on, right? You do that right now. You step out. Somebody will take the scriptures and show you how you can know Christ as your Savior. Or maybe you need to come down and you need to say, Lord, there's so much in my life right now that you're not Lord over. And I make you Lord today. You are my King. You are just, you're lowly. But man, you're my King. and I give you my heart's throne once again. Let's sing. We'll sing it through twice. They're away from us. They're way back into the area. And so just be in prayer for them. And of course, I do want to remind you of just a couple of announcements. Are those announcements up there, gentlemen? We're going to kind of make a little bit of a shift in how we do announcements in the middle of the service and at the end of the service, show you slides that kind of relate to them. And so that is, of course, what we'll do now. I don't have control of it here. So if you'll just march them forward, that'll be good. My clicker's not working. But at any rate, the first one is Easter Sunday. I mentioned that earlier, three services. Make sure that you do that. And then, of course, I want you to be aware that there is a team function today, 12:30 to 2. That is our fundraiser meeting coming up in May. We're going to be doing a camp fundraiser. It's our family fun night. We're going to be doing some like a spaghetti dinner along with skits and games and all that kind of a thing, a bake sale, all of that, raising funds for camp. We're looking forward to that. And, of course, if you're a visitor and you're visiting with us for the first time as our guest, we invite you to go back and jump back and be with us at the visitor's reception area. There we go. Now I've got control of it. And so there's Easter. Grab the flyers on the way out the door. Join us right off to the left as you walk out the door. Teens, we're together today until 2 o'clock. We're serving you lunch. And last but not least, HCA Spirit Day, 11 to 8. That's going to be on the Chick-fil-A over at the mall. Patriots, that's the word you say. And all the proceeds, 20%, will come back to the school. Jump out. It's a great time. That doesn't deviate from anything that we talked about, but do be inviting. Be inviting. Now, it's Palm Sunday. Use this week as an opportunity to get folks to church next week. What a joy it would be if half of us brought somebody. Think about what that would do to this room. If a quarter of us brought somebody, what that would do. But boy, if a soul gets saved, it's worth it. Every bit of it, isn't it? And so we've entered to worship. We're going to depart to serve. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Mills, and he'll close our service.
God of heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be here today. Lord, we're searching for a soul. Is there one in this room who is not saved? I pray for that precious soul. Courage, Lord, to step forward, to say something, to reach out for help. And to reach out to the Lord. God, I pray for next week that we might invite some to come, and Lord, that somebody may come. You've prepared their heart, their soil's ready, and they could be saved. Oh, Lord, we would rejoice in the work that is done. We do pray, Lord, for your saints today. As we depart from this place, we might be uplifted in our spirits, God, walking closer with the Lord for being in the house of God today. Lord, I pray the fellowship may be sweet to follow. Thank you, God, for your kindness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.